Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me again today. This is your host, Brother T, for the Best Hour radio broadcast here on blogtalkradio.com. And we are continuing our journey into A Course in Miracles. We are working through the workbook lessons this year, 2020. And today is day 52 of this year, and we are on lesson 52. Now, yesterday, on lesson 51, we began a review of the first 50 lessons. And so we're doing 5 lessons a day. And if you're not familiar with that, the instructions, the introduction to this is our first review period. I encourage you to go back and listen to yesterday's episode, lesson 51, and you will, you know, I read the instructions there that we're to follow as we continue through our workbook lessons. So before we jump in, let's take a good deep breath and come together in a moment of silence before we start. Lesson 52. Today's review covers 5 ideas, and each one of the ideas, then Jesus provides us with a little bit of a paragraph, if you will, of additional information about each one of these lessons. And you'll notice that this is a little bit different because we've come through 50 lessons, and now we have kind of a new premise. We're kind of seeing things in a new way through the first 50 lessons that we've covered. And so we're kind of circling back with this new perspective of the world, if you will, of our experience here in physical form. And so we're coming back again now in review with a little bit of a new perspective, and he's adding some content for us here in these review lessons. Number 6, I am upset because I see what is not there. Reality is never frightening. It is impossible that it could upset me. Reality brings only perfect peace. When I'm upset, it's always because I have replaced reality with illusions, which I made up. The illusions are upsetting because I've given them reality and thus regard reality as an illusion. Nothing in God's creation is affected in any way by this confusion of mine. I'm always upset by nothing. Number 7, I see only the past. As I look about, I condemn the world I look upon. I call this seeing. I hold the past against everyone and everything, making them my enemies. When I have forgiven myself and remembered who I am, I will bless everyone and everything I see. There will be no past and therefore no, quote-unquote, enemies. And I will look with God on all that I failed to see before. Number 8, my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. I see only my own thoughts, and my mind is preoccupied with the past. What then can I see as it is? Let me remember that I look on the past to prevent the present from dawning on my mind. Let me understand that I am trying to use time against God. Let me learn to give the past away, realizing that in so doing, I am giving up nothing. Number 9, I see nothing as it is now. If I see nothing as it is now, it can truly be said that I see nothing. I can see only what is now. The choice is not whether to see the past or the present. It is whether to see or not. What I've chosen to see has cost me vision. Now I would choose again that I may see. And number 10, my thoughts do not mean anything. I have no private thoughts. Yet, it is only private thoughts of which I am aware. What can these thoughts mean? They do not exist, and so they mean nothing. Yet my mind is part of creation and part of its creator. Would I not rather join the thinking of the universe than to obscure all that is really mine within my pitiful and meaningless, quote-unquote, private thoughts? Let's take a good deep breath and pause for a moment. I am upset because I see what is not there. I see only the past. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. I see nothing as it is now. My thoughts do not mean anything. With the foundation that we've established over the last 51 days, the conversations that we've been having, we begin to see now quite clearly that our mind truly can be split. We experience it every day. I mean, in a very factual way. We fall asleep when we go to sleep at night. And a part of our mind now is split off yet again. And that small sleeping self imagines for itself a world quite similar to the world that I'm experiencing now, if you will, in physical form. Yes, I have a body. Yes, there are things that are happening and there are people populating my experience. It's very similar to this experience today, yet it's fantastical because it moves in and out and it shifts and changes very rapidly and goes from drama to drama, or if you will, story to story. And these are my stories that I'm creating out of pure nothing. These are my images that I'm projecting onto my mind that I have also imagined out of a very creative potential, which is my mind. But it's not all of me because that small sleeping self is completely oblivious to the fact that I am safe at home in bed. That small sleeping self believes itself to be having private thoughts, yet when I wake up, I was there all along and I was watching, so to speak, traveling along with the sleeping mind, even though it's unconscious of me and the life that I'm living. Again, not even aware that I'm actually safe at home in bed. Not even conscious of where home is. Not even conscious of the life that I'm living. The work I do, if you will, is potentially oblivious to that small sleeping self. Yes, my mind is split off. And the bigger part of me, the life I'm living, if you will, is walled off and not available to that small sleeping self. It never looks inward. It's only looking outward onto the projection of my mind. And those thoughts of that small sleeping self really do not mean anything, do they? They're just a fantastic story. My imagination running along in a world of illusion. We have, if we really look at that, we can see that we have little trouble accepting that as truth. And the more I believe that we accept that, and I'll just say for myself, the more I have come to be able to accept that is absolutely true. When I'm looking at the small sleeping self, it can be upset because what it's seeing is really not there. It's just a projection of my mind. I can see people who are near and dear to me who have already transitioned. But in my sleeping self, in my sleeping mind, a small sleeping self, it doesn't remember that. They've already passed away. And there they are, having conversation and acting out in a normal play of relationship. No grieving, no sense of loss. There they are. But if I get angry with them, and of course that can happen, I can be upset because I see something that's really not there. And when I wake up, there is absolutely no doubt that it was not there. It was never really there. It was a projection of my mind. And everything that I'm seeing, I am seeing it all from the past because it's playing out as different scenarios of the past life that I believe I've lived as a human. I don't know how many lifetimes. Does it really matter? No, it's all just projection. It's all just a made-up story. But I'm gauging the meaning that I'm giving everything based on the past experiences that I've had as an ego self, as a human mind. So my mind is clearly preoccupied with past thoughts. And that's why sometimes people in my life that I love and care about who have already passed on and have transitioned are still a part of my experience there. Because there's no limitation to what I can, quote unquote, imagine. And clearly, I have walled off. I have become oblivious to things that otherwise I would wake up and say, oh no, that's a fact. That person is no longer here. That person has passed away. We might even make the argument, well, that person died. Well, no, they didn't die. Because God didn't create death, you see. That's a construct of the ego mind, the separated self, the split off self from reality. And in these lessons and in this work, Jesus is continuously pointing us back to truth, back to reality, so that we can realize and begin to awaken to the truth of who and what we are in reality and have a realization. We could call it enlightenment. And as we begin to move to the light, light and truth are synonymous. Light and understanding are one. And I can begin to accept that it's quite possible that if I get upset today in this state of consciousness as a human being walking around in my quote-unquote normal life, that it's very possible, is it not? It's certainly a potential, if I'm willing to give it some consideration, that I could be upset because I see what is not there either. Because I'm giving everything all the meaning that it has. I'm judging everything from the past. I'm really living in the past. And as he shares, I see nothing as it is now. To see what is now is to see it with the mind not thinking. The not thinking mind. Is it possible to experience the not thinking mind? Oh, yes. And you have. And times of extreme chaos or confusion or possibly some type of unexpected accident or whatnot, whatever might occur, some circumstance, it really will shake you loose of the thinking self. And you will be and can be, at least momentarily, in a not thinking state of awareness. Because that thinking self believes itself to be in control. It believes itself to be able to manage, understand, and discern what the world is or is not, again, giving everything all the meaning it has. But those thoughts are all just constructs of illusion, of grandeur, believing that we can control or manage or operate separately in private, having private thoughts, and valuing whatever we're experiencing today from a past experience, good or bad, right or wrong, all of it from a positionality of duality. my thoughts do not really mean anything because I can flip a coin and I can make a prediction, but the truth is I have no idea. Is it going to be heads or tails? It's random. I'm giving everything all the meaning that it has. So the split off, separated self may not be my best choice to listen to. And I do have a choice. If my mind is split, like the left side and the right side of our brain, see, everything in physical form is symbolic. If the mind is truly split, then it's quite possible that there is absolutely another way of seeing things. And we'll continue to point to the Holy Spirit as Jesus refers to the seeing eye as the Holy Spirit. And also, if you're reading in the textbook, in the Your Text version, if you will, in the JCIM or the CIMS edition, where information wasn't taken out of the first few chapters, and in other places, but primarily in the first few chapters, you will read Jesus stating very emphatically that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. We could say that the awakened self in human form here now versus the small sleeping self that is creating a reality that we travel through in our dreams at night. We could say that the sleeping self is a fragment, a sliver of this awakened human self, and that we could look at the awakened human self as our right mind, our sane mind, compared to the small sleeping self, which is fabricating a bunch of experiences out of nothing, projecting onto the mind a movie, a story, images, dramas, and that it's oblivious to our right mind, the human self, when I'm awake, and the life that I'm living that I've constructed and manifested for myself, if you will. That small sleeping self could look at that comparison and say, the awakened self is the human self, if you will, the person I'm being now, the personality self, is really the bigger part of who I am. The small sleeping self is just a little bit of a fragment of my intellect and a fragment of constructing an existence, if you will, made out of just imaginings of what my real life is and pulling experiences from my real life, if you will, from the past and playing out dramas, etc. So that sleeping self would look at the, you know, personality self traveling through the day in its daily life as the right mind, the true self. We might make that argument to that small sleeping self and say, well, you could get in touch with your right mind. And we would say, okay, well, that would be what we might call, if it could happen, and yes, it can, a lucid dream. And if you've ever had that experience, you know clearly what I'm talking about. It's revelatory. It's amazing experience to wake up, to become more conscious of our truth that the small sleeping self isn't really what we are and that it's fabricated an illusion. And suddenly we are awake in the dream, in the state of dream, and we realize in that heightened level of consciousness that I'm dreaming. This isn't my reality. I'm actually having a dream. I'm now awake in the dream. I have become, if you will, enlightened. The small sleeping self is suddenly enlightened to the reality that, oh, this is just a dream. And so there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing really going on. Dreams have no effect. I'm really not seeing anything as it is truly now, because what is going on truly now is, well, my body is safe at home in bed and sleeping, resting, recurring, regenerating. And so all the thoughts that my small sleeping self is having, they really don't mean anything, really, because it's making judgments and decisions and responding, or if you will, reacting out of fear to most situations and reacting almost on autopilot based on our belief system of what reality is. And that belief system is a holdover or pass through, if you will, from our personality daily life. And I think it's interesting in the very last idea for today, number 10, which is my thoughts do not mean anything. The first sentence is a very important sentence that I wanted to kind of highlight in our conversation today, because it says, I have no private thoughts. Well, how could that be? You know, you might be saying, well, I'm thinking something right now, Tony, and you don't know what that is. That may be true, because I may not be conscious enough to tune in to your mind where our minds can be joined. But I can certainly feel the effect of your thoughts, because thoughts are things. Thoughts have a vibrational attractor factor, if you will, and they go out into the universe. And it has an impact on all the world and all things in the world. When I first met my wife and we were dating, and the first time she came to visit my home early in our relationship, I told her, I said, well, because I had been studying A Course in Miracles for some time, and I told her, I said, well, there's only two tenets here in the household that we try, that, you know, I try to abide by. And one is no people pleasing, because if we're people pleasing, if we are trying to make people see us in a particular way, or trying to control how they act towards us or see us or behave around us or what they think about us, et cetera, we're really manipulating them. We're trying to manipulate them. And very often we succeed because we might evaluate what we believe they would like in us, and we present or we express ourselves as that self, and we can play those games, and we do play those games continuously throughout every day. The ego self is constantly shifting its expression, and it can go from, well, suspicious to vicious and anywhere in between, but it can also be very cunning and baffling, and it can really work hard to make other people believe that, well, that I'm a good person. And it would say, well, don't tell them about, you're not going to reveal that situation that happened when you did this, or when you found yourself in that situation and you responded this way or that way. You don't tell them about that. And when you first start in a new relationship, you don't tell them about the bad stuff. You're only going to talk about the good stuff. You might talk about what you believe to be your successes and your wins. So you want this other person to see value, because the ego is looking outside of itself for validation of self. And so we have private thoughts, and they don't know what we really have done in the past, or so we believe. That's not available to anyone but ourselves. And so we get to tell our story however we like to. I was sharing with someone yesterday, actually, how there was a time when I was assisting someone with a parent that was going through an experience of dementia or Alzheimer's, And every time they didn't know me because I didn't have really a past life, not a lot of history with this person. And so every time I would meet them, this person would ask me who I am. I found it interesting that I could tell a different story every time because it's just a story. And it appears that we can have private thoughts, but that's not true. The sleeping self at night also thinks that it has private thoughts, but guess what? You're peering in, you're there, and when you wake up, you remember the dream. You remember being there, even though it's not conscious of you, not the bigger part of you, not the real, quote-unquote, you and the real, quote-unquote, life that we believe we're living here, walking around in our daily life as the personality self. It's not conscious of you, but yet it can't have any private thoughts, can it? You're there. And this points to the fact, the reality, that the higher self, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, is with you all the time. You know, I've experienced times in my life when I would sit down when I was younger and beseech and ask God and be have a beseeching prayer, as if God didn't know what I'm thinking. And so I've got to go into prayer and make a connection and communicate what my needs and wants are. Well, that's ridiculous. Because you have no private thoughts. You have no private needs. You have no private fears. The Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind, is you. It's an aspect of you. It's an aspect of your mind. And even if you're oblivious to it, it certainly is not oblivious to you. And so I shared with my future wife at the time and said, okay, no people-pleasing and no private thoughts. So whatever you're thinking, it's okay to share it. But the ego believes it can hide its thoughts in the dark. Thoughts of silence, or in the darkness of silence, if you will. And it truly believes that that's safe and that no one can really know who we really are as long as we don't really reveal who we are and slip up and tell on ourselves. You see, it's a game of manipulation. It's all, both of those two statements, no people-pleasing and no private thoughts, are both the same thing. It's an attempt to control what other people think of us so we can be safe in the world. I love you. Thank you for being with me today. Thank you for sharing this conversation with me. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay the course. God bless.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send